Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast, and I hope you have an enjoyable Labor Day weekend. Our schedule, of course, Connie Willis will be on tomorrow night for you, live program. I'll be on Sunday night, and then live program Monday night. I'll be back on as we get your week going again. But do have a great Labor Day weekend, and just have some fun with your friends and your family. And just take it easy. Look, we're going to take your text questions as well. Tom's back in the L.A. studio. He's got that. And also tweet questions. We're doing that now. So sign up for our Twitter feed by going to coasttocoastam.com. And we've got open lines for you. But also, I'm opening up the Amazing Moment line. So any line you call is okay. But I want you to share that story with us, that one amazing story with us. And it could be anything. It could be, oh, geez, a tragedy. It could be a heartwarming story. Whatever it is, share it with us. I've got one, happened a long time ago. You know those spindles where you put paper on it? They're just like little spikes, right? And you you jam paper down on top of them, and that's what we used to do in the old days, right? And you just do that to save your copy, whatever it was. Well, we had a stack of copy that must have been about a half an inch thick of scripts. And so the spindle's sticking up, and I take my copy, and I rammed it down on top of the spindle. And it was so thick that it slid right off. My hand went right through the spindle. I didn't know it. I couldn't feel it. My director at the time, he's no longer with us. He passed away, Monty Salisbury, great guy. He's looking at my hand with this spike. It's like a 7-inch spindle spike sticking right through my hand. And he's screaming. And I'm going, what's wrong? And I look down and I see it. And it had gone right between my fingers on my left hand. And I pulled it out slowly. No bleeding, nothing. Nothing. I went and got a tetanus shot, but that was it. That was an amazing moment for me. Share some of yours with us next. Okay, back with you. Open lines. Let's get it going. We'll go to Amanda, truck driving in Marshall, Illinois, on our wildcard line. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, and I hope you are too.
Yes, I am. Good day. Good night.
Working over the holidays?
Yes, I am. Well, hopefully doing my restart on Monday.
All right.
So good. Find a nice resort.
Okay. Enjoy. What's up?
To share an amazing story.
Okay.
I've got many, but I have this one that stands out. Before I started driving trucks, I taught kindergarten, and during the summertime, the school had a summer camp program. We had a week themed Native American, where I taught, you know, the campers, you know, about some of the Native American culture.
Uh-huh.
And to wrap up that week, we had did like a naming ceremony, and we had just enough time at the end of the day, and I had asked, what else should we do? And everybody, you know, we want to do a rain dance, because we had talked about it, and we had went a whole week, where it was over 100 degrees, and no wind, no, not a drop of rain.
Wow.
It was miserable. They're like, let's do a rain dance so, you know, the animals can drink. I'm like, okay. So we just, you know, put on some the drumming music, and we're like, okay, how do we get the rain? They said, clouds give us the rain. Okay, but there's no clouds in the sky. Okay, well, we need the wind. So, okay. So we're dancing around saying, you know, wind bring the clouds bring the rain, over and over again.
Yeah.
And we're doing this, having a good time. It's the end of the day now. I'm ready. It's time for me to go home, take the kids outside. So, okay, let's wrap this up and go play outside for a little while. They wanted to keep doing this. I said, okay, well, let's do it outside. So we're doing it outside. And then, you know, about 10, 15 minutes later, another staff member comes out to relieve me so that I can go home.
Yeah.
I get in, you know, go in the room, get my stuff, walk out to my car. I don't even get in my car, and I look, and there's this massive dark cloud moving above the school.
Out of nowhere.
out of nowhere, there was not a cloud in the sky except for this cloud that rolled in over the top of the school, and it dropped so much rain within like a block radius around the school, and it only lasted for maybe 10 minutes. And then we didn't have rain for another week.
That's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah, what made you go, by the way, from being a kindergarten teacher to a truck driver?
Well, it's something I had always wanted to do. You know, I had aunts and uncles that had drove truck, and, you know, hearing their stories growing up, I had always said, if I ever quit teaching, I'm driving truck.
What are you driving? I mean, how big's your trailer?
53 foot.
Wow. My gosh. And what do you deliver?
All kinds of things. A lot of dog food. That's a big one.
Dog food?
Yeah, we do a lot of dog food. That's our heavy loads. And then, of course, we get the nice paper cups sometimes.
And how far do you go, Amanda?
Pretty much coast to coast.
I don't
do Canada or Mexico, but I come really close.
That's amazing. And you went to school for it? Truck driving school?
Yes, I did.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And I assume you listen to us coast to coast.
Absolutely. Every night, every time I have the night shift, I'm listening to it. I look forward to it.
You got it. Go ahead. Drive carefully, Amanda. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Working, of course. But, hey, that's what we're all doing. And, by the way, special thanks to our law enforcement working this weekend as well, trying to keep those roads safe and everything else for us. We go to first-time caller Lee in Minnesota. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling.
Good. How are you doing, George?
Wonderful. Wonderful. How about you?
Oh, pretty good.
Great. Whereabouts in Minnesota are you?
Wilmer.
Now, where's that?
It's about 100 miles west of the Twin Cities.
Okay. I lived in Eden Prairie for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 78. That was a pretty spot.
Yeah, that's a pretty town.
Anyway, what's going on, Lee?
Yeah, I took some photographs one night. I took photographs during the nighttime and the daytime, and I caught things. I caught two angels.
Really?
And yeah, and they looked like they had halos, and there was a large male angel, and I shared telepathic communication with the angel.
What did he tell you telepathically?
He said, ask your father.
And, of course, we're talking about God, right?
Yeah, we're talking about God, yes, because after that, God came to me. He said, I'm God, and I'm here to help you.
Did you need help?
Yeah, I did need help. I was going through a rough time.
And did it work for you?
Yeah, it did. I got through it.
Good for you. And do you tap into that whenever you have to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Once it works for you, you're hooked. Tom, you've got a message for us back in L.A. What is it?
We're going to go with a tweet.
A tweet it is.
This is from Eric. George, if you could meet the devil knowing no harm can be done to you, what question would you ask?
Well, I can't really say it on the radio, but I would ask him why he is so evil. Why he wants to collect souls. I think that'd be a pretty good question, don't you?
I think that's a good question, yeah. But I think I'd turn down that interview.
I would do it. If I had a chance to interview the devil.
The guy said no harm to you. He didn't say you can come back.
Well, why don't you set up the interview with the devil? You've got connections. That would be an interesting. Hey, do you remember years ago we had that guy?
Yes.
The devil.
Yes.
And he changed his voice. Remember that?
Yes.
That was weird.
It was very weird.
That was weird. And then we also had that Satan worshiper or the son of the devil, Oscar.
I was just thinking about
remember
him.
Remember him? What happened to him?
He disappeared. He hasn't called again.
Man, that's...
I wonder what happened.
He went back into his hole or something.
Scary, man.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks. Roy is in Merrill, Wisconsin now, and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Roy. Go ahead.
George, long-time listener, man. I love your show, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, love listening to you. But anyways, I got a couple of quick things here. One of them was is that you're talking about people talking about things that happened to them and stuff. Well, my wife and I, we'd moved from northern Wisconsin, and we moved to Nebraska in 1984, and we had those digital clocks, you know, that had all the little numbers on them and stuff, and when it would turn to 11:11, it was all ones. And just it's a stupid thing that I would say to her, because I say stupid things, hey, the clock's broke. And she looks at me like, what do you mean it's broke? It's all ones. And it just, we went with that for many, many years.
Yeah.
We always said it every time we saw it. It's at 11:11, and she'd say the clock's broke, and you know what time it was. In 1989, mm-hmm. 5 years later, our oldest son was born on 11:11.
I love it. We've got a digital clock, Roy, in the LA studio, but it also has the seconds on it. And yeah. many nights when I'm on the air, because I go on the air at 10 o'clock in L.A. time, when it hits 11:11 and then 11 seconds, you can see that. And it's so weird, three groups of 11s.
You know, you're right in the wheelhouse there on this one.
Yeah.
The other thing was, I got to tell you one other quick thing. It's just another quick story.
Sure.
I had a bunch of concussions and stuff, and I banged my head really bad one time. I slipped on some ice, and I fell and hit my head. And right after that, I had a very strange things happen to me for a long time. But the one thing was, I could sit there and look at the phone, and it's sitting in front of us on the coffee table. My wife and I were watching TV, and she goes, "What's the matter?" I said, "The phone's going to ring." I said, "It's going to be your friend Tess." And she looked at me. She goes, "What? The phone rang?" It was her friend Tess.
Wow.
Before it rang. And I could pick up the phone sometimes before it rang, and people go like, "The phone never rang." I go, "Yeah, I know."
Do you think the head injuries had something to do with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I used to race motocross and stuff, banged my head quite a few times, blacked out. You know, don't you think concussions have things to do to people?
Sure. You alter your brain somehow.
Yeah, it was really weird. I had premonitions of things that just came about, and I don't want to sound like some people like they're far out there, but I mean this is true to life. I mean,
that's a great story
that I thought of before they happened, and they happened.
Are they still happening for you?
Yes, sir. That happened to me back in '83 when I banged my head. Yes, I still have some of it, and it's just
still there.
You know what? I don't like it sometimes.
How come?
It's kind of scary.
It is scary sometimes, and you never know what it's going to tell you. That's the other thing. Let's go to Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Sue's with us. Hey, Sue. Good morning.
Hi. How are you, George?
Good. Thank you.
I have two quick things I'd like to say to you.
Sure.
One, I was listening to the archives, and I realized that I saw an aircraft over Harrisburg that your guest from the UFO Center in Pennsylvania was talking about one night. And it was just the Wednesday before last, like the 24th, I think
right.
It was.
Right.
And I had left work a little early, and I saw this huge... It was the triangle that they described, and it had two blue lights, and then the center was bright white lights, but I saw windows on there.
And very quiet, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was going really slow, but since there's an airport nearby in Harrisburg, I thought that it was just a plane going to Harrisburg, you know?
Yeah.
But then when I listened to the archives and I realized it really... was something strange, then I thought, well, I have to call George and phone. I saw it. I wished I would have thought to take a picture. Could have sent you a picture.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved that.
But I have a nice ghost story for you if you would like to hear it.
Okay. Sure, a nice ghost story? Why not?
Yes. Okay, my mother-in-law passed away probably like 97, and she always would sing, "You Are My Sunshine." She played guitar and she would sing that song. And years later, in 2005, my granddaughter was born. And when she was about two, she was singing "You Are My Sunshine." And I looked at my daughter and I said, "Did you teach her that?" And she said, "No, no one knew how she knew the song." So we asked my granddaughter, which was just a little toddler at the time, and she was singing this song,
wow.
And she said Grandma Bean had taught it to her.
Oh, that's precious.
So my mother-in-law was teaching her that song, and she had never met her.
that's amazing. That's chilling, isn't it?
Yes, it just gave me cold chills telling you.
What a great song. Do you remember yeah. it? I should have you sing it for us.
Oh my gosh. You want everyone to stop listening to your show?
No, they'll never stop listening.
Thank you for letting me tell you that.
That's a great story. Thank you, too. You are my sunshine. Yeah, everybody remembers that one, right? They used to sing it to us when we were kids. Do you miss being a kid? Morris in Canada is with us on the Wild Card Line, International Line. Hi, Morris.
Hi.
How's yeah. everything?
So as the truck was sliding on the right side off the highway, I say to the wife, well, it's going to be the end for it. I didn't know how deep the ditch was. There was kind of a foot of snow in the there was not much for bush, just thin willows. So, okay, the truck started to lift to tip over towards the ditch.
Oh, geez.
And at the same time, the wife said I was sailing out the back window. The back window popped out of the truck, and I still have that window, not a crack in it. Anyways, so I sail out through the back window, and then the story is the truck rolled down the embankment. It was about 45 feet, and I was standing beside a big wire fence, and I was standing about 3 yards away from the truck on the other side of the fence. My glasses were on, my cap was on. If you ask me, I never felt nothing. So the guard angels just grabbed me and sailed me out that.
Oh truck. My God! They pulled you out intact. No cuts, no bruises, nothing.
Nothing at all.
Jeez.
See, I didn't have my seatbelt on. The wife did.
Unbelievable. What kind of truck was it? Pickup truck?
Yeah, it was half-ton pickup Ford truck. Yep.
Oh my God!
And I still have that back window. See, the back window popped before the truck tipped.
See, that's amazing by itself, because had it not popped out, that could have chopped you up.
Oh, yeah, I had no seatbelt. I mean, the wife really got banged up, even with the seatbelt on there. But, yeah, and she said she tried to grab me, she couldn't grab me. Well, it was the power of God or angel.
Oh, you had angels there, Morris.
Just really unbelievable, yeah. It's,
you have to say, that's amazing. Go ahead.
That's really amazing, like, I sailed through the air. Well, I didn't feel nothing. I nothing at all. I just, all I know, I was standing on the other side of the fence facing the truck. The truck stopped on its wheels. And then I says to the wife, how are you doing there? Well, she says, I'm kind of banged up.
That is a great story indeed. We're going to take this quick break, and we're going to come back with more calls on Coast to Coast. Open lines plus your amazing stories. Now, you've just heard a few of them. That's what I'm looking for. We'll be back. Now, we've got open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast. At the end of the show, next hour, the guy from Pittsburgh pops in to talk about Ouija boards. If you've got your computer or smartphone, you will be able to see him now. His video, the guy from Pittsburgh, he pops up every month. He's out there somewhere. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Tom Danheiser taking your tweets and your text messages as well to get through. And then we've got Skype. That's George97313. Let us go to the phones now. Let's go west of Fallbrook, California. Eric's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Eric, go ahead.
Hey, George. So happy to be on.
Sure thing.
My story has to do with your guest from the first 2 hours, but I'll tell it as a story as well.
Okay.
You know, this happened to me years ago, and I'll call it a failed abduction, or one that didn't actually work.
You fought your way out of it, or what?
Well, I willed my way out of it, actually.
Uh-huh.
And that's a whole part of the story. But what I wanted to focus on is how it started. It started as harmonic notes, and they were extremely well-paced and resonant like nothing I've ever heard, and they came over about 6 or 7 minutes, like I said, well paced, and then they got closer and closer together, the cadence, until they finally meshed into one note, and boom, something appeared in my room.
Uh-huh.
And the sound stopped and something appeared. But, you know, out of all the abduction things that I've heard or, you know, stories I've listened to, I've never heard it happening with sound or, like, notes or this harmonic tone.
No, nor have I.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, your guest really sparked.
He's right on.
Yeah, isn't he? So it was great to hear it.
He's good. He's deep, but he's a great, great thinker. Now, what would a Friday night be without our Skype call from Marcus in the Netherlands? Hello, Marcus.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I trust all is well?
I'm doing okay, and I'm promised to keep it light, and I'm only at the bad news, but we talked about angels, which I didn't want to share yet and stuff.
Are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
And I can tell you a protection story like you guessed before. I love those. But I just want to give the people who are lonely and alone a comforting thought.
A little bit of hope. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a period when I was very lonely. And I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I was really sad, and I just couldn't shake it. I picked up my guitar, couldn't play, couldn't sing, you know. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make some coffee. So I went to the kitchen, and I noticed that my filters were, my coffee filters were empty, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I kept always a little stack in a cupboard nearby. And so I stepped into this space, but normally you don't stand there because it was between the sink and the washing machine, you know.
Okay, so there's no room for you.
Yeah, so you only can like do a step and then open the cupboard. So I'm stepping in with one foot in the space, and it's like I felt like a really big love. That like it fell on me, you know.
Yeah.
And I got scared, so I step away with the filters in my hand, you know. And I'm thinking, what was that? So I'm making my coffee, looking at the space, and I just wanted to know, you know.
It's just in that area.
Yeah, and but the coffee machine is like 2 meters away, so I'm making my coffee, putting in water, coffee, and all that, and I'm still looking at the space, but it felt so good, and I thought, you know, I just gotta know. So the coffee machine is running, and I step back into this place, and George, it was like standing in a pillar of love from above.
That's amazing.
And my knees started shaking, and I had to hold on to the sink, and it felt so good. I had to, you know, tears running down my face.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was you know almost that your knees are like pudding, you know.
Just in that region, that space.
Well, yeah, only, and it was there's also a window there, so, and it's on the top floor of a big apartment, you know.
Yeah.
And so and I couldn't handle anymore, and my coffee is done. So I step out. I pour in my coffee, and I sat down on my couch, and I was this. Like sparkling, tingling all over my head, and it was on me the whole day. And I just sat there on my couch and I just enjoyed the day at home. And so the next day I went to my parents to drink some coffee there, and mm-hmm. I didn't tell them anything yet. And I said, "What did you do this weekend?" And they said, "Well, we went to a meeting over this and that place, and we had a prayer with a group of people. And suddenly, one of these men in this group said to my father, like, 'You have a son. What's his name?' And my dad said, 'His name is Marcus.' And 'Excuse me.' My official name is Mark," so he said, "His name is Mark." And this man starts a prayer and says, "I I understand that that your son needs help, and we gotta pray, and he prayed for an angel.
At the same time that this was happening to you.
Yes, because they said they were there by 11 or so, and that they were brought by other people with a car.
How would this guy even know about you, Marcus?
I think, George, this is just a, you know, in the body of Christ or the Holy Spirit, people can hear hear needs, you know?
Yeah, and they picked up on it. That's neat. Thanks, Marcus. Tom, what do you have for us back there?
We have a text from Sarah in West Palm Beach. George, I can't figure out why people like to watch wrestling, boxing, and fighting in general. What's so interesting? What's so interesting about people beating up each other?
Well, first of all, wrestling is fake, I think. They've already worked out the winner and everything else. What they're doing, they're good athletes and they're acting. In terms of boxing and stuff, I don't know. It's just inherent in the human nature, I guess, to see that kind of activity in action. And, you know, you'll notice now with MMA, which is a younger sport, that it is kicking boxing all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, in the older days, you know, guys would watch boxing matches and stuff like that. And they, you know, they were kind of exciting to watch. But MMA is different. I mean, and younger people love that compared to boxing. Boxing is the old man. That's my old father's sport. That's my old man's sport, where MMA is their thing. And that's changing. It's
well,
changing everything.
I can tell you, I go to a lot of hockey games, and fights break out. It is so amazing to watch what happens to a crowd when that happens.
You're right. I have got a friend of mine, Tom, who's an announcer, and he will not do MMA. He will only do boxing matches because he's old school and he's comfortable with that.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Just for announcing them, he'd turn down a gig at an MMA?
He would turn down an MMA gig. He doesn't get it, doesn't understand it, but boxing he'll do day in and day out. He's like Michael Buffer, same kind of guy.
See, I miss the days of just like boxing, like the Tysons versus the, you know, the heavyweights.
Those were big days. Yeah. I mean, I even remember my mother would tell me when I was a kid, so-and-so just won the heavyweight fight. And I went, what? How would mom know this?
And your mom.
she picked up on all that stuff. But those, I think those days are gone.
Real quick story. I have a memory.
I would like, if I asked you right now, who's the heavyweight champion of the world? Boxing? Do you know who it is?
I'd say Manny Pacquiao.
No, I don't think he's a heavyweight.
Oh, then I don't know. That's
yeah,
the name.
I mean, this is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like during the days of Ali and Tyson, everybody knew. But who knows?
I can distinctly remember sitting down in front of a Tyson fight in the living room.
Somebody email me, by the way, the heavyweight champion of the world right now.
If they know.
If they know.
I went in the kitchen to heat up something in the microwave. I came back and that fight was over. Because Tyson used to knock him out in like a minute.
It was fast.
Yeah.
By the way, line four, is that Buckingham? That's his real name, you know.
It is?
Yep.
I know him as Buck.
Well, listen to this. Hello, Buckingham.
Hey, George, it's old Buckingham here, and I appreciate you using my given name.
Yes, you are very welcome, my friend.
But if you want to, you and Tommy can always call me Buck.
Buck it is. How you doing? You sound tired.
Well, I am a little on the tired side, and I'll tell you why. It's 48 degrees here in Limestone, West Virginia, and we're starting to get our provisions together, which means firewood first.
Okay.
Of course, that everything comes after being an insider, a coast insider. And I wear mine like a badge of courage, my membership.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you even did a promo for us.
And I did tell Tommy, and I always wanted to tell you, if you guys are ever in this, and I mean this, ever in this neck of the woods, you always got a place to stay here.
Oh, thank you, Buck.
And I do mean that.
Very kind of you. We met Barry from the Carolinas in Asheville. He showed up.
How'd that go?
That went great. I mean, it was good. This is how it started. Before the event started, and the theater's filling up with people, we see this guy in the front of the crowd, like in the second row, dancing and wiggling and just all over the place. And we thought he was drunk, whoever he was. And so we sent a couple of the theater people over to look at this guy because, you know, we didn't want a drunk guy in the front row.
No.
And they went and they talked to him, and it turned out to be Barry. And he wasn't drunk. He was just jovial. He was having the time of his life.
Like he's at a pro wrestling match.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, George, and I told Tommy, I've always wanted to ask you this question, and that is, you host all the time, I know, but the occasional time when you're not hosting, do you listen to the show?
Sometimes, not all the time, and let me tell you why. I mean, I'll listen to it later for the critique of the person because I have to sign off on everybody who fills in, and I want to make sure that they're doing what the you know what I did years ago, and they're all good people. But generally, if I take a rare time off, I need to just get away from everything, Buck. And so I get away from it. But if I'm in the car or something like that, I'll turn it on for a little bit.
Oh, that's cool. I always wondered that, George, and I never did ask you.
I hope the answer helps.
It does. And you guys have a good evening.
Okay.
Good weekend.
You too. You have a great Labor Day weekend. And I got to pick my bumper music for Sunday tomorrow. So we're ready to roll. And don't forget, we've got emerging artists for a couple hours, too, as well. Let's go to Jack in Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Oh, how are you tonight?
Good, Jack. Hope you are, too.
I'm hanging in there.
Okay, what's up?
You're talking about unusual experiences. Years ago, I was flying a load of rubber floor mats up to American Motors in Wisconsin.
Good old American Motors.
And it was good strong winds at altitude, so I was staying low below the clouds, about 5 mile visibility. It was about coming up on midnight. And as I start across Lake Michigan, they tell me about an aircraft in front of me. I'm talking to air traffic control. And so I'm just cruising along and watch the shoreline disappear behind me. And I'm looking out front, and I see this light, and it must be that airplane in front of me. I'm catching up with it. And the light suddenly starts getting bigger, and it's moving at me very swiftly, just maybe in the area of 1,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
And this wouldn't mean much to anyone other than a pilot. If you watch the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, and the two airplanes come together and lock up in formation. It's called forming up. And it's very difficult to do. It takes a lot of skill. Form up.
Oh, yeah, and it's dangerous as heck. My God.
At high closing speeds. Well, this thing came in at me from the front, and in the last few seconds, I thought it was going to ram me, and so I started very hard turns to the left, and it just came right in off my right wing tip and stopped straight in. No, you know, loop in like the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds just park beside me. And if you're holding the ruler at your arm's length, it would be about 12 inches long. On the side window, the co-pilot side window.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this. It's not a light. It's an object, and it's emitting a faint sort of off-color blue, green, yellow light. You can see it quite clearly. And it followed me.
Wow.
Initially, I was concerned, you know, because it seemed to quite close. I don't have any perspective, you know, to tell whether it's 100 foot long or 20 foot long.
Right.
It's just really
right.
Close. And so initially I was kind of concerned, and just like it was locked off my wingtip. And so I made a turn to the left just tentatively to see if I could, you know, get a little more space. And it stays positioned right off my wingtip, almost like it was welded there. It
bobbled
a little bit.
And at what point, Jack, were you saying, this thing is not of this world?
Well, when it formed up, it was very clearly not anything of this planet. And come in at maybe a closing speed of 1,000 miles an hour and just park off your
and just head. Stop, right.
Yeah. And so I began to become more aggressive, more comfortable with it. I tried a little turn toward it. It stayed in the same position, same spacing, bobbled a little.
You went left, it went left, right?
Yeah, so I thought, okay, fine. So when you're formation flying, you're going to do a full control movement, like full aileron in one direction, you've got to let your wingman know or you're losing. And so I did a full aileron roll to the left. It stayed right off my wingtip. It's just amazing. So then I tried a little more aggressive movement towards it, see if I could get a little closer, see, you know, get a better view. No, I couldn't get closer. So, you know, my mission is to go up to Detroit. I'm flying VFR at night. And so I, you know, go back on course toward Milwaukee. And I'm watching the thing as it begins to just barely see the glow of lights on the western shore of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's backing up behind me. I mean, it's becoming harder and harder to see it through the co-pilot's window. So I make a little turn to the right to keep it in sight. And finally, I'm going straight north up Lake Michigan. And when I finally get a beam Milwaukee, I'm talking to Milwaukee Approach Control, telling them that, you know, I have this aircraft.
Did they spot it on radar?
That was the puzzling part. They didn't. Their initial position was that they're probably too close together to resolve the two airplanes.
Well, you're lucky, Jack, this didn't take you.
Yeah, maybe. Anyhow, they said they do not see him. And I said, well, you know, the guy's been following me rather closely, you know, across the lake. If he breaks off, I'd like you to track him to his home airport. So
I'm going to hold you over, Jack. Keep that thought right there. We'll be back.